We bid you welcome to the Words of Life program. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, she was, of course, startled in many ways. One of the ways was that she questioned how she could become a mother, since she was able to say, truly, I am a virgin. Mary's response is Brother David Johnson's sermon topic on this Words of Life program. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus, the Christ. We now begin with singing of praise for our Lord. Heavenly Father, it is our great joy to talk to you in prayer, and we thank you for the salvation that is found in Jesus. We appreciate knowing that Jesus was born in Bethlehem with one purpose in mind, to save people who would believe in him and receive forgiveness of sin. This is a blessing almost beyond comprehension, except that your word has explained that it really did happen. Please use the words of this program for your glory and bless all of our listeners with convictions, healing, and peace. We also pray that you will be with each one who follows your ways as we look forward to the return of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Using the passage found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, Brother Johnson will now present, I Am a Virgin.
It's great to be together again as we share in a lesson from the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, I Am a Virgin. And our main text is in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Please listen to the Word of God. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his word. We know that a typical birth announcement can include today, the date, time, gender, names of the baby, and parents. Yet the most famous birth announcement ever made, which has many of the same details, has one detail in our text that is extremely unique, a one-of-a-kind announcement. When the maiden was told that she would be with child, she answered, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Down through the centuries to today, many question, are skeptical, do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus of Nazareth. How can this be? It's humanly, physically, naturally impossible. The answer to this apparent impossibility is, as revealed in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." Jesus was a miracle baby, a supernatural yet human physical birth. In our text, in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, the term virgin is revealed 3 times. Incidentally, the writer who recorded this virgin birth was, according to the Colossian letter, chapter 4 and verse 14, a doctor, especially familiar with births. In fact, in our text, the angel of God revealed a double birth miracle made possible by Almighty God. First, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." This referring to the young maiden Mary, possibly as young as 13, as was the ancient Israelite custom of betrothal or engagement. Plus, secondly, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 36, it says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. So possibly she was in her 60s or older. So a virgin youth, a maiden, gave birth to her firstborn, a son, as according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, and a barren senior gave birth to her son, who was to be known as John the Baptist, or baptizer, who then would also be a relative of Jesus, though raised apart. Jesus was raised in the region of Galilee, and John was raised, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 39, which says in part, a town in the hill country of Judea. So, how could this supernatural, miraculous virgin birth occur? Luke chapter 1 and verse 35 says in part, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." God, the Holy Spirit, who has the power as the Most High, would supernaturally create the embryo of Jesus within Mary. So God the Father is then the true Father of Jesus, who is the Son of God. Jesus is the Holy One, unlike any other infant ever born. And Joseph was the legal father of Jesus. Every other person born has been born a sinner with the inherited Adamic sin nature. There is much scripture to affirm this. For example, in the Old Testament, in the book of Job, chapter 25 and verse 4, it says, "How then can a man be righteous before God? How can one born of woman be pure?" David wrote in Psalm 51 and verse 5, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned." The epistle to the Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22, it says in part, "But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin." This is true of every human being except Jesus, the Holy One, virgin born in Bethlehem of Judea. Jesus was born without the sin nature that entered the human race through Adam. Yet Jesus was born holy. It's true, Adam was created supernaturally also, miraculously, and sinless. But then he sinned later. So Adam sinned, disobeyed God. However, Jesus always perfectly obeyed God, and therefore, as our perfect human substitute, was able to pay once and for all sin's consequences in our place, and through our obedient faith in him, to make us acceptable to a holy God, reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Because the Christ was born of a woman, he is a human being with a body. But as the one and only unique Son of God, he is also deity, divine. Jesus Christ is fully human and fully divine simultaneously at his incarnation. How is this possible? Nothing is impossible with God that does not deny himself. So is belief in the virgin birth of Jesus central to the Christian faith? Absolutely. Well, why? First, the Bible clearly affirms the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. So if we were to deny this truth, why believe anything else in the Bible? Secondly, the virgin birth allowed Jesus to bypass inheriting the tainted sin nature. He is the Holy One from conception, humanly, and was pre-existently holy and will always be holy, 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 God incarnate. Thirdly, if as unbelievers charge, Mary could not have been a virgin, then there must have been a biological father. So how would a pious Jewess, Mary, possibly as charged an adulteress, have acted under the penalty of Mosaic law of stoning to death? Well, she would have surely hid herself, been full of shame and guilt. Yet, according to the scripture record, how did Mary react to the revelations given to her by the angel Gabriel as stated in her virginity? Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And also in Luke chapter 1 verses 46 through 49, and Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Therefore, Mary's reaction was not guilt and shame. She did not hide herself. Mary's reaction was full of humility to serve her Lord God, because she was also rejoicing. She knew she would be called blessed for who she was and for who was to be born of her, which was a great thing. Obviously, Mary believed that she was going to have a virgin birth. Some in Christendom actually claim that the scripture refers to a virgin birth only to convince simple-minded first-century believers regarding the deity of the Christ child, to confirm him as the Son of God. Well, that line of thinking is foolhardy, because both the virgin birth and the deity in a human baby, human body, are supernatural miracles. The virgin birth was fully believed by the early church. The 2nd century A.D. Ignatius wrote, quote, "For our God, Jesus the Christ, was conceived in the womb of Mary, of the seed of David, but also of the Holy Ghost," end quote. Here referring to Jesus as the seed or descendant of David, the king of Israel, so also of the Davidic dynasty of royal lineage. Therefore, Luke chapter 1 and verses 32 and 33 says in part, "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Jesus is Savior. He is fully man. He is fully God. He is Messiah, the Christ. And he is a king in waiting to come and rule and reign in his messianic millennial kingdom and into eternity. Lastly, John MacArthur, a fine expositor of Scripture, writes these words, quote, "Christmas is arguably the most widely celebrated of all the world's holidays, involving more people, more nations than any other. But at the same time, it is perhaps the most misunderstood of all major holidays. Other holidays honor famous people or commemorate significant historical events, such as Independence Day in the United States. Christmas, however, honors a divine person and remembers a divine event, the virgin birth. It does not celebrate human achievement, but instead divine accomplishment. Santa Claus, crowded shopping malls, holiday decorations, etc., do not reflect the true meaning of Christmas. There is nothing man-made about the Christmas story, the original Christmas story. It is the most miraculous, compelling narrative in history, as the Holy Spirit relates the dramatic story of Jesus Christ's birth. Those who truly celebrate Christmas do so by remembering the profound reality that God sent His only begotten Son to die for the sins of all who put their faith in Him." End quote. The virgin birth of Jesus, laid in a manger, was destined to hang on a cross for you and for me. And He's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And His kingdom will never end. Jesus Christ is the ultimate gift offered to humankind. So you, listener, have you received Him by faith, repented of your sins, confessed Him as your Savior and Lord? And because He is Lord, have you been in obedience, baptized into Him, immersed? And are you persevering in your faith in Christ Jesus? Or do you need to restore yourself to the Lord? That is, return to Him because you have perhaps backslidden or are no longer in fellowship with the Lord or in danger of falling away from God. If you are, please reconsider this eternal decision, this eternal destiny that awaits us all. You must persevere in your faith in God through Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Is Jesus Christ, God's only Son, your Savior and Lord? If you are not a Christian, please listen carefully. We encourage you to make an important decision today. Of course, you must first truly believe in Jesus and all that He is. The book of Acts shows us that people who became Christians also repented of sin, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were baptized by immersion. We encourage you to make the same decision for Christ. If we can help you in spiritual matters, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this and next week's program, ask for CD number 1851. That's 1851. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.